Hi, everybody, and welcome to the November episode of Triplicity. Today, we are live for KazemiCon on Twitter Spaces, and we are going to be talking through the astrology of November 2022. How are you both doing? Welcome.
Mars is slowing down, mm-hmm. So I, too,
am slowing down. Yep. Yes.
It's an very experience. That. Yeah.
The amount of, as a Gemini rising, the amount of times that I have like cut my fucking hands at work recently, I am like, thank God they're still both on my body. Like every day something happens where I'm like, I could lost my hand today.
Yelling.
Jeez.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I'm just trying not to get into fights, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just really trying my best to just hold my tongue. But it's okay. It's okay. I have Aries rising, everyone who does not know that. So we're out here. Third house, Mars retrograde. Here we go.
Oh, heck yeah.
You're doing it. Hey, at least it's a malefic. At least it's a malefic in the third.
Yeah.
That's right.
And not a benefic.
Yelling.
Yeah, no. October has been like, I don't know. The astrology of October was like has like really come through in a pretty loud way for me. I'm just really feeling it. And yeah, like Venus Kazemi happening today. We talked about this in the October forecast. It's happening square my ascendant, so I'm kind of just like also trying not to get in fights. but you know, like really wanting to.
but it's in your fourth, so you're just being private about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm just like cuddled up in a blanket in my home,
being shady.
Yeah, being shady.
Yelling.
Texting my friends. Also, you might hear me occasionally just like rip this little bong during this recording because that's what I do.
Do it.
Oh yeah.
All right. Do we? Oh, before we get into November.
Oh.
We are hosting a small little gathering, maybe not small, a little gathering called the Weed Circle for people. It was inspired by Norwalk 2022, and everyone's just smoking weed with us all the time, which we love that. Weed is a social activity. So right. come to Weed Circle. We're still accepting submissions until Tuesday. So if you'd like to speak about your astrological soapbox for like 5 to 7 minutes, come submit and do that. And we'll pass the joint and have a good time.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited to rant.
Same.
Yeah, me too.
Just go
off.
Straight. Uninterrupted.
Stream of consciousness.
Right.
Basically, I'm just like excited to get stoned and then rant until you're all like, all right, grandpa. Like,
I'm screaming.
Your turn with the microphone is done.
Cute.
Do we get into
November? Yeah. Right. Our November rant, at least.
Yeah, it's happening. How do you feel overall right. about the month?
Bad.
Not Same. Optimistic.
I wish I could be happier and more joyful. But I
wish we were doing a live forecast of any other month.
Two months. Yes. Yeah. You can't, like, there's no. The silver linings are not there. There's no, this will be okay because this is a nice little mitigating factor. Here's like, this bad thing's happening, but this is good thing is happening at the same time. Kind of like what we have right now. But like next month, there's no good things. No good things.
Jupiter station direct. I mean, that is like.
That's a good thing, I guess.
And I don't know about you, but I love Venus Mars hard aspects. So that Venus-Mars opposition at the very end of the month, I love on a personal level. Mm. But I know that could be hard for some people.
I have them co-present natally, so I'm okay with them in a hard aspect. But it's not always comfortable, right? Like
no, and like, I mean, that's the point of hard aspects, right? Like, they're supposed to bring up things that are not maybe the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but like it looks this one feels like it's not gonna, like, there's like a silver lining because it's Venus and Mars.
Yeah, like getting slapped doesn't feel good, but it can.
But some people like it, right?
I can't. I was like, where is he going with this? And I was like, oh my God.
I cannot. No, I feel that. I feel that.
It'll be fine. I just always lose a lot of money when Venus and Mars are the conjunctions and oppositions. Oh my God, oppositions definitely get me. I just like have very fond memories and moments of being like, damn, I am struggling. And then I look at him like, oh yeah. I think it was like a Mars and Venus and Leo. And I spent everything. It was so bad, but it'll be fine. It'll be fine. That's the nicest. And the new moon in Sag. I think those two things are like the nicest and Jupiter stationing direct things. But like, are they nice enough to compensate for all the horribleness?
No, not at all.
That's the real question.
No.
Shout out to everyone that's also experiencing a solar return in like the second decan of Scorpio. We are or survivors, or we will be survivors once this 2023 solar returns hit. But
yeah, if you have luminaries in Taurus too or Scorpio too, like I love you.
I was thinking like I don't think I've ever been more afraid of a solar return, but I also don't think I've had the level of like understanding of solar returns that I've had until so like, you know, it's like it's the curse of knowing. Like the more you know, the more you can see.
It's the worst.
So yeah, but we're going to get through it. Eclipses are bad, but they're not always like terrible.
Yeah.
But they are bad.
I mean, like the last one I got fired, but it like wasn't necessarily like the worst thing that could have happened. It actually like I was pretty happy with that.
I know. Yeah. I remember when you texted us and you were like, "Welp." You were like, "Oh, there's the eclipse in the solar return."
Yeah, there it is. Okay, got it. So it's not all bad. It came with something better. It just took a little bit of time. Yeah.
I think also the knowing piece, really quick, going back to that, really speaks to the sun being mildly malefic. Because sometimes you're just not supposed to know and see everything, and that's okay.
The saying, ignorance is bliss.
Oh, yep. Truly. Wouldn't it be nice to just be stupid and happy?
Live my dumb little himbo life and not have a single thought. That's my Venus Kazemi right there, becoming a himbo. Venus Kazemi in the fifth.
Rejecting intelligence.
Rejecting.
Embrace himboness. Hilarious.
All right, so that first week of November, we have everything's in Scorpio.
Everything's in Scorpio. Literally. That's what I put in the notes. Venus, Sun, Mercury all goes into Scorpio, conjoins key two. Blech.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Which, okay, so I don't know if I should say this on the live recorded one, but a lot of what I think modern astrology attributes to Pluto actually comes from K2. And that comes from me exploring Jyotish and being like, K2 is the co-ruler of Scorpio, etc. But there is this like purging and like quote unquote transformative aspect that K2 brings. Mm-hmm. So this eclipse cycle, at least to me, feels like it's a lot about with the K2 eclipses in Scorpio, like you are digging up and purging that deep shit.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Scorpio is the trench of the zodiac, and K2 is like, and we're going to clear out the trench.
That's true. No, that's very fitting. That's very fitting. And I think I think it's also particularly tough, especially for Venus this month, because like she's already in a tough space, and to like then have to like dig up and purge all of just a little bit of crumbs of joy she's trying to bring. Like, it's just, maybe it's like the experience of like purging what we do consider to be enjoyable and pleasurable in whatever area of life Scorpio is for you. But like, no, I don't, it's sad times.
Venus is also freshly an evening star moving into Scorpio.
Mm.
And so I know we often talk about like the myth of like Persephone going into the underworld being Venus and Scorpio, and that does not feel more pertinent than it does right now with her being freshly moving over the sun.
Yeah.
Scorpio is also where the south node of Mercury and the south node of Mars is, and so you kind of end up with this like double, like everything, like south node from like an astronomical standpoint is like a thing going down, and so like giving you that like purging aspect that you get is just like something is coming down, going out. I mean the tail of the dragon.
So yeah, that's that first week of November. We've got this Scorpio pileup happening, coming to a bang right before the eclipse with Venus squaring Saturn in that second decan of the fixies. This part of 2022 feels like what that late like third decan cardinal shit was for you third decan cardinal people like 2 years ago, where everything just kept hitting at one point. Yeah. This is what that feels like.
I agree. We've been getting so much, like so many planets have gone through the fixed signs and have made these really tough aspects to both Saturn and Uranus. And it's just like a continuation over, like it has felt like an eternity, even though it's only been like
because it's the fixed signs. Literally.
And I feel like that really speaks to like how frustrating this is compared to like to the fall of 2020. Like obviously that was like absolutely out of this world, but like the vibe was so much more, I don't know, this is
this is not it.
Wow, I'm tired of this. Yeah.
Wow. As you were talking about that cardinal three, it's just like, God, because it's funny because like I have cardinal three and I have fixed two. Like that's kind of where most of my chart is.
Most of your thing sits.
And and so, but it's interesting because it has been a very similar storyline both times. It's been a really, really similar storyline with both of these kind of activations. I don't like it.
sorry to all the live listeners and our pessimism.
Yeah, we're all pretty Saturnian and malefic. So, well, not Jared. Jared's just Saturnian.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Mars is pretty submissive. yeah, so that first week of November, everything moves into Scorpio. And, you know, we kind of get this, like, all those things. So Venus, Sun, Mercury, we kind of start to feel that purging. November 6th, Venus square Saturn. So we really start to feel that, like, fixed square with Saturn. Really coming in. So I don't know, any thoughts on Venus Saturn squares?
Ugh. I think Saturn's like telling Venus no, and Venus like, and it's like absolutely, I mean, not
Venus is overcoming. Venus has the upper hand in the square.
Yes.
But she's also fallen, and Saturn's in domicile.
Right. So it's like, I feel like it's, I don't know, Saturn, I feel like as the year is like closing out, Saturn is like, nope, absolutely not. Nope. Like making these final, like, absolutely not to like every planet. And it's before Saturn goes into Pisces next year. Like, and it's just so, uncomfortable. As an Aries rising, I have absolutely no money, and I'm just really not looking forward to another experience of like this extreme sense of lack and not having what we need. So
what I just thought of when I said that Venus was overcoming Saturn, I'm thinking about it more. All these, this Scorpio Taurus eclipse cycle has been entirely with Saturn in that like in Aquarius, right? And thinking about now things shifting to Scorpio, the activation more so being in that sign as opposed to when it was in Taurus. This idea of like purging and removing, and Saturn being the fourth from that and providing this like solid foundation for the purging, or being like, why are you purging? Like, what is at the root cause of this purging? And I think it almost provides not some guidelines, but some sort of structure to this like removal that needs to be happening. Like, it is a systematic and intentional removal.
Saturn is giving us a bowl to purge into.
Yes.
Yes, love that.
And I mean, yeah, I had a thought about Saturn and Venus. I don't remember.
They're besties.
Oh, well, I was just thinking about like Venus and Scorpio being fallen, and like Saturn will want to help Venus, and I think what's kind of nice about this like Venus-Saturn connection is it gives Venus somebody that she can see who she trusts with the goings on in Libra. Cause like, of course, as like, as a planet, as like, as a domicile lord, Venus is responsible for Scorpio and Taurus. And she's very concerned with what is happening in Taurus right now. Like there's a lot, like we've got eclipses and she is opposite that sign. So it's like very visual to her, but so she can't see Libra when she's in Scorpio, but she can see the exaltation lord of Libra who is making a trine to Libra. So it's kind of alleviating her duties. So as Venus is moving into Scorpio, I could see this square activating something in like the Libra part of our charts, because it's like these two rulers coming together in that space.
For sure.
And then we have the eclipse.
Oh, Jesus.
The actual eclipse on the 8th, 16 degrees Scorpio Taurus.
And this is like a true Mercury Kazemi. So Mercury will actually be occulted by the sun in this one. And if you look at the board, I actually posted some visuals so you can see the difference. The picture on the right shows the Kazemi, where you can see that red line is the orbit of Mercury. That's kind of a diagonal. And when it's in Scorpio, that's kind of our vantage point of Mercury's orbit, is it's like this diagonal in the sky. Same when it's in Taurus, it's a diagonal the other direction. So Mercury is actually passing behind the body of the sun, versus like right now, Venus is a little bit north of the sun and is not truly in the sun's heart right now. But this eclipse, with the Mercury Kazemi and the lunar eclipse happening at the same time, we get all of these planets, the moon, the sun, Mercury, and Earth, on kind of the same plane of existence. Like we are literally on the same, like we could draw a line through all of these bodies. And that's a pretty rare configuration that we're getting on all these bodies. And there's like a lot of focus on the south node, right? Because Mercury is moving south across the ecliptic at this point. And so there, it's just like, this is really, and it's, to me, it's like something mercurial is being purged and the moon activates it for us here on Earth. And so like secrets coming to light with it being Scorpio, yeah, like, and it being the superior conjunction, it could be, you know, you're kind of getting that feeling that somebody's not being honest with you, something like that. I could see with this eclipse.
Totally.
Spicy.
Totally, totally.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. So much K2. So much truly. Transformation. So much purging.
Yeah.
And then shortly after, the next day, Mercury is going to follow Venus and then square Saturn.
Yeah. And that's kind of something that I really, really don't love about this, this eclipse cycle, is like the moon and Mercury are both like coming out of this aspect to the sun, having kind of, you know, an aspect to the sun gives you some sort of like rebirth with light or change in your light. And the first planet that they share that change with is Saturn. who is probably going to tell them, like, I don't love the change that you made. So
I hate it, actually.
Yeah, like, I actually really hate it. And but because it's eclipses and like because it's fixed signs, like there's not a going back on these things. So like hating it is kind of all you can do. You don't really have an option though, other than to deal with it.
Just deal with it. That.
I don't like that at all. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the news, in politics. I think we're definitely in an election cycle right now.
Cycle, yeah.
And so it'll be really interesting to see what happens with that and all of the different things happening. They're getting very vicious. These ads this year, I don't.
The drama.
It's wild. Like, it's crazy. The lengths that people are going. It's not even, people are literally just, what's the word? Taking advantage of someone's pain, capitalizing off of, and politicizing people's pain when like, yeah, this is, but these are like, yes, this problem is a problem. Like, it's a systematic problem, but you are only highlighting it solely for the fact of trying to like capture people's attention, one, and then also get them to be on your side, which is like, so you're just then making it worse. Like you didn't have to do all of that.
Yeah. You're not actually taking action to address the issue. You're just bringing it up.
Literally. And then like, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Acting like that's enough.
Right.
You're stirring the pot.
Literally. And it's really gross. Granted, they've always been like this, but now it's just like, maybe because I'm an adult, I'm like conscious of it. It's very, very interesting. Also like post-Trump. So
yeah. It's a different landscape now.
Politics are wow. Wow. But yeah. What's next?
Then the sun. Mercury square Saturn, and then the sun square Saturn. We've got this lineup of Saturn squares.
Everybody's hitting Saturn now. Yeah, sun square Saturn is like, it's a tough one. That's like because the sun can be like your life force and your energy and like what you're, you know, emitting and putting out, and Saturn is going to darken that. So there's like a darkening of that.
Saturn is still very slow at this point.
Yeah.
Freshly stationing, not freshly, but like it's Saturn, so
it's always slow.
He takes a while to move. yeah I mean, then like I think things kind of lighten up with things then moving into, we get some Sag activity, and I think that like every sign transition has a very stark contrast, but Scorpio into Sag feels the biggest difference for me.
100%.
I don't know if that's because I have both in my natal chart, but like that feels like a very extreme jump from moving into this, like Mars's preferred domicile to Jupiter's preferred domicile. Like you are getting an extreme shift.
Right.
Of, like rulership.
It's like deep in a fun way.
Yeah.
In a not scary, let's go be unnecessarily philosophical deep.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels more, more like wide than deep.
Yes. Like, love that.
Like you can, like there's a lot of like expansiveness that way.
It's not just the centaur, it wants to run free.
Yeah.
Hell and just like explore.
Mm-hmm.
I love us.
It's such a, Sagittarius is objectively my favorite sign.
Hell yeah.
I think it's like, I don't know. There's just so much. There's so much there. It's so cool.
So much fun. But not this year.
Not this year. No. So Venus moves in the 15th, Mercury's the 17th. The day after the 18th is the wheat circle, which is why we did that, because of the Sag activation. I remember us looking for an election, and I was like, all that Sag.
We can get all the stuff into Sag. Yeah, so that middle of the month, it's cute. Like, that's when things start moving into Sag, and that's where, like, this is where, because we talked about, like, having to live with what comes up during the eclipse. And to me, like, things moving into Sag is kind of us, like, understanding that this is how things are now. versus like Scorpio was still trying to like triage the emergency. Sagittarius is a little bit more like, okay, it's happened. We have a little bit of like space again, that kind of like wideness that Sagittarius can bring. We have like space to like figure out, get a different vantage point, walk around the scenario.
Totally.
Ooh, I feel like that's like the transition between Scorpio to Sag is like very much that of like first you have to kind of like get through all the problems and like gut the whole place and like destroy the whole place, and then you can kind of like go around and like do that survey the land and explore and run free and just like see where things take you, and then start imagining and envisioning the how great it all could be once it's all fixed.
Yeah, that's
years to come.
That's amazing, because like then even taking that like a step further, and like you're running, you kind of like dissolve whatever problems came up in Scorpio and whatever, you know, that gets resolved. And then Sagittarius, you get to like run and imagine and, you know, kind of visualize what it could be. But then you get to Capricorn, where you really start anew. Again, you get that kind of like that mutable is there to remove what was fixed and prepare for what needs to be initiated during the next cardinal sign. So when Capricorn comes around and initiating whatever you've surveyed in Sagittarius.
Love that.
Truly. Amazing.
I mean, then Mercury and Venus finally catch up to one another. Jesus. They're so close for such a long time.
Yeah, this is cute.
Yeah, I like the 21st this. At 7 Sag.
Nice.
Yeah, they're still like combust, right? They're still...
They're opposite a retrograde Mars.
Yeah. But they, you know, you maybe write a cute poem in your journal that you don't have to share with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, this is, to me, this is, like, something cute that doesn't have to be public. Which is nice.
I like that. I think it'll give Mars a little, some candy for the day. just, like, I feel, because Mercury is ruling this retrograde Mars and Venus coming up, I feel like it's, like, I know things are hard right now, and I know that you have, like, what you're responsible for is, like, kind of up in flames. So here's like a nice little, maybe, yes, actually, yeah, a nice little gift. I was thinking like a poem or like a letter or something that you don't share, but then I'm like, little treat. Right, like little treat.
A little treat for Mars.
Yeah, it's like that'd be cute and helpful, maybe. Some good Mars retrograde remediation.
Yeah, this is like, this is a pretty benefic Mercury. I mean, it's co-present Venus. It's in a benefic ruled sign with the benefic and with like its ruler in domicile. This is a pretty benefic Mercury. Despite it, you know, I think, being combust, but
I was going to say the combustion and just like the fact that there's no triplicity dignity for either Venus or Mercury here is a little bit like, okay, so like what agency do they have? Not a lot. they don't really have much here, but they still will be their planetary selves and still have access to some of that power, even if it's, again, can't be seen because it's combusted by the sun, or it has to be, you know, it can't be super, you can't get super into the details because it's in Sagittarius, but that doesn't mean that it can't be nice.
Totally.
I don't think it'll solve any problems, but it'll definitely be,
I don't think
nice
it'll create any
phase. Yeah. Yeah.
Knock on wood.
I say that now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're kind of underestimating Mercury and Sag here. Just, woo, sometimes it's, I think our attitude of being like, it'll be nice, is so Mercury and Sag.
Yes. Yeah.
But no, it'll be cute.
Mercury makes very helpful. Mercury is angular to its domiciles. That's
and that's
really hugely
nice.
Mitigating for Mercury's domiciles. So, even though it can be, you know, this can be like Mercury seeing what Mars is doing in Gemini and being like, what the fuck is going on over there?
like, that's what you've been doing in there?
like, I just came out of your house and you are trashing my house. like, the, so there's, you know, there's a little bit of that. But there's at least like, I see what you're doing in my house and I can start to make a plan to like,
how to clean it up.
Clean it up, course correct what I don't like.
Hmm. Cute. And then the new moon.
Sag new moon.
Yep.
At as Jupiter is stationing direct.
Yep. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. This is a really like quiet. Well, all new moons I feel like are relatively quiet. Well, that, you know, there's a lot of nuance with that. I feel like this is a very like, we're just here to have a good time and like, we're not doing much with this. We're just here to enjoy the vibes. Like, I really mm-hmm. feel like this is like a, I don't necessarily know if it's an oasis amongst this whole chaotic month, but I definitely feel like
it's like a pause. It's like it, right. It allows you to like, especially I'm thinking of the ruler of the moon being stationary mm-hmm. and it being Jupiter and Pisces. It just feels right. like so like, literally just like light a candle, maybe meditate, like
light a candle, but don't burn your house down. Remember that Mars is retrograde opposite.
Just like be still is what it feels like through what is a very chaotic month.
Yeah.
And it's weird that something in Sagittarius is going to provide stillness. Yeah. But it's it feels that way. It feels like this is like a nice, like, okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the Three of Wands tarot card where you have, is it Three of Wands? Or is it Two of Wands? What's the one with the guy that's like looking out like off of like standing? I think it may be Two of Wands.
I think it's standing with the globe, right?
Yeah.
I think, is that three? I don't Googling know what, it. I don't remember what two looks like. But I know four is like celebration.
Yes. Three of Wands is the guy. There's like three wands. He's standing. He's like looking out. That's kind of like this new moon where it's like a stillness and you can see a lot of what's happening. And the moon is going to come out from under the beams of the sun and give her first light. Still a few degrees away from the Mars-Saturn situation, like from aspecting Mars-Saturn. So she's like going to emerge and be able to kind of like survey and see and then complete that aspect. There's not like an immediate crisis for the moon.
That's nice.
When she emerges from the beams. Yeah.
You also get, I don't know if it's, I think it's 2 days after the new moon, you get the moon in Sag applying to Jupiter in Pisces with reception, which is just, it is a still Jupiter, but it's just, oh, it's so nice. It's so nice.
Cute. I like that. This will be a what's time.
Yeah.
Mercury.
Maybe like a chill Mars. Week until Mercury and Venus oppose Mars.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
On the 29th and 30th of November.
Yeah. Oh, and just, I think
like chaos.
The one thing that I would say as like something that I don't love about the Sag moon, and we talked about this in our Mars retrograde episode, is the full moon in Gemini. Knowing that it's right. kicking off that cycle. And the full moon in Gemini is, it's conjunct Mars. And it's not only conjunct Mars, it's a Mars occultation. So, like, the moon will pass in front of Mars. You know, think of it like an eclipse of Mars happening. So that's really unsettling to me. That Mars is having its like the middle of its retrograde period. So maybe this new moon, again, coming back to that like ability to survey and kind of see far out. So this new moon on November 23rd and like the subsequent revealing like the crescent light, the moon coming out from under the beams, like could be a potential small preview into kind of what you're seeing coming 2 weeks later with the full moon.
Yeah, that'll be something. That full moon
yeah,
in December is very uncomfortable. But
as we talked about earlier, like I feel like the discomfort in mutable signs, maybe a little bit easier to manage than the discomfort we'd, or like not manage, but to like, just to kind of like experience rather than to like fight against. Cause I feel like all the fixed activations and stuff has been like, fixed people will fight the change. We do not know. Like, we will fight you. And I feel like mutable signs are a lot more likely to just be like, we're just going to roll with the punches. I mean, I feel like that's what mutable is. We're just transitioning and rolling with the punches, which may be tough, will be tough, but may feel a little better, hopefully. Hopefully. Oh, God. Hopefully.
Mercury and Sag. Hopefully.
Hope, right, yeah, you can hope.
And then that's it. That's November. Yeah, that's November. The quickest we've ever gone 40 over 40 minutes.
I think it's because we're all very much like, I don't know, we all have stuff that's like getting hit pretty heavily this month. And so we're all kind of like, I pretend not to see it.
We're gonna be recording December and be, we're gonna be like, someone's gonna be like, how are we? And we're gonna be like, ah.
Yeah, tune in for December to hear how we're doing.
Yeah, to hear if we make it.
Right. We will. We say this every time something rolls around. I know. We're like, you know what? We're gonna just have to. We've survived a lot worse or the same.
Yeah. I think my concern is that you've all heard me say, if you've listened to this podcast, that like not everything is about you. Mm. But like this one feels personal.
So, like, this one is actually about you. Like,
so it feels a little bit, you know, like I'm going to have to deal with it. Yeah, does anybody have any questions or comments about November that you'd like us to talk about that maybe we missed or want us to clarify, or something about your chart that you'd like to ask about? We'd love to ask for the mic.
Yeah. And if you're uncomfortable asking, like with your name being attached, you can DM either the Triplicity account or one of us, and we can read the question anonymously. Everyone at my job has started talking in a British accent, so I can't stop.
Anybody? If not, I'm going to talk about how, just a reminder, we have Mercury in Libra right now, and not to be an outer planet truther, but Mercury is square Pluto. No. And we've got all sorts of student loan stuff happening, like the opening of the application for student loan forgiveness, and all of that is happening. And so maybe that would be something I would see that very first week of November, right before Mercury moves into Scorpio, when it makes that square. It's interesting because we have that's kind of when the court cases and stuff are supposed to be decided, of whether or not it can move forward. So
interesting.
Does the KazemiCon account have a question?
Yeah, does it have a question, KazemiCon?
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the comment from Shai, just so that I can record it into our podcast, was around, there's a court that I believe yesterday provided a stay for the lower court's judgment, meaning that despite the fact that all these people have already applied for student loan forgiveness, the government cannot move forward. And I believe Monday, the federal government is required to have their response to this in. And then Tuesday, the four states that are suing the federal government over this are supposed to have their response in. Though it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's an appeals court, right? No. Like we're in a lower court. So we'll hear more on Monday.
This feels very like Saturn stationing direct. You saying, you literally just said they can't move forward. And I was like,
there it is.
Like, huge institution is unable to move forward because of these other things that have to get done first. Like, yeah. It's so, yeah, that's interesting.
Mm. Yep. And Mercury's in the exaltation of Saturn. Mm. Yep. And because of the law, is what Shai just said on the Twitter space, because of the law, is why we can't move forward, to give that like Saturn, Mercury, Libra, Aquarius kind of, the astrology is very real.
Yeah. Our government is just an excuse for like old white dudes to be dramatic. And I'm like not here for it. I watch The Housewives, okay? That's how I get my drama fixed.
I don't need to watch C-SPAN. And make
my life hell. Yeah, get over yourself.
There's not a huge difference between C-SPAN and Bravo. And
Bravo.
There's not. No, there's really not. But the thing is that I feel like this, like, this is, like, inherent to American politics. It has always been so ridiculously dramatic. Like, it just, it does, it's so interesting. Yeah, this is, where is Saturn in, well, actually, what would that be in the U.S. Sibley chart?
No, Saturn would be in the third.
In, it's Sag rising, right? What's Sag rising third?
Mm-hmm. Aquarius.
Saturn's in Aquarius right now, so it's in the, yeah, it's transiting the third of the U.S. chart if you use Sibley.
Right. But natally, where is Saturn in
the
Sibley chart? Maybe I know it has Jupiter in Cancer, but I don't remember where Saturn is.
Libra. Libra.
Hilarious.
Wait, what part of Libra? Like, where in Libra?
According to the screenshot I'm seeing, but it's really tiny. Middle decan. Exaltation degree, right?
Hilarious.
Isn't that...
Exaltation degree is 20.
Cute. Okay. Are there any other
Saturn and Libra in the 11th?
I mean, that makes sense for the people. We really don't like each other as American people and haven't for pretty much the entirety of American history.
Yes. Like, yes. It's never been about liking people. It's always
It's never been about friends.
Never.
This is not.
I didn't come here to make friends.
Yeah. any other live folks wanna tune in, share your thoughts, questions, opinions, praise for how much you love all of us in this podcast? We welcome it all.
Yelling.
What's this comment thing?
Yeah, people can comment.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I'm yelling. I love that meme. That's how I feel like we look. No, thank you for this.
I'm using this again. I'll credit you, I promise. That's awesome.
The meme that Jose replied?
Yes. Green chair.
It's so good.
Literally also, me, like, taking little hits off of this pipe throughout
the whole pod. I also laughed when I found out the U.S. has an exalted Jupiter and Saturn. Yeah. Exalted Jupiter and Saturn, and they're squaring each other.
It'd be so much performance. Oh, my gosh. No, yeah, I feel like it definitely speaks to the, like, no offense to these people out there. But maybe
full offense. Full offense.
Yelling. This like performance sort of like expression that comes in when planets are in exaltation. And it's like, relax. You don't have to do that sometimes. You just have to do it. Like, you don't have to perform while you do it. But I don't know. That's whatever.
Fully true for exalted planets. Full offense and fully true.
I mean, like, referencing my earlier talk, the Avasta of being in exaltation is for a planet to be excited and awake. So there really is this, like, I gotta show off now.
Right. I just think about Saturn and Aries.
Aries is the exaltation of the sun, and Saturn is like, literally shut the fuck up and eat your food.
Literally shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up and go to bed without dinner. It's like, not even eat your food. Go to bed without dinner.
There's the door. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I feel like everything connects back to Saturn and Aries for
us. It does. It does. It has to.
It has to. It
will always.
Saturn and Aries depressed and asleep. That's what Holly just said. And then I see Lily said, America's Cancer stellium makes so much sense when it comes to politics, and Gemini descendant makes sense when it comes to why we hate education, like education being our open enemy. Mm. Like the seventh house being the house of open enemies.
And, it really is.
Yeah, and us being just like completely like, no, being informed. We actually talked about this. Was this at the beginning of this recording that we said, I would just rather be stupid and it's like time for the himbo era? Yeah.
Yes.
It's all coming back. Like, wouldn't it be nice to just be uninformed?
Well, I think about like that Reagan advisor that literally was like, if everyone can go to college, they'll get too smart for us.
Mm-hmm. We won't have a military.
Yeah.
If everybody goes to college, if college is affordable, we won't have a military.
Military. Oops.
No. Absolutely. There's, okay. I'm not surprised by this Reagan person. I'm not surprised, but like the fact that like so many different like quotes have come out from that administration that are just so blatantly
fucked.
Like, I just it blew, and then just the decline of America generally was just so stark after him in that administration. It just blows. Yeah, we're
my favorite is that Twitter thread where they like show graphs of things over time in the US, and they just put Reagan faces when he was the president, and you see everything just goes
just
to
like
shit.
Drop. Yeah.
It's horrible. It's interesting what charisma.
And you know what didn't go to shit? You know what didn't go to shit when Reagan became president?
Mm.
The earning of the highest earners in America. That went up.
So. Trickle up economics, baby.
That's right.
Trickle up.
I do think about the timeline where Ronald Reagan never became president and where we are now.
Yeah.
That's not this one.
I'm going to timeline jump to that timeline.
Absolutely not. Welcome to Triplicity, everyone. Absolutely not. We're just going to keep ranting about anything if people don't ask questions. So please know that we have this. I don't know.
Reagan era was like peak unevolved cap shit.
That's hilarious.
Also, Mercury and the Sibley chart is in Cancer, right?
Hilarious.
That is an enemy sign, plus the moon is in Aquarius. So Mercury is in the sign of a great enemy and is the Lord of the Seventh. We really don't like education.
Ugh.
That's really ugly.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It really is.
Rowan has asked, besties, how are we feeling about the Mars-Jupiter square starting in November that doesn't perfect until March? Honestly, I love it. Because to me, it's harking back to the Mars-Jupiter conjunction that we all experienced at NORWAC.
Oh.
That was like the last kind of time that they were together. And that makes me very excited. Also, did somebody request to speak? Mercurial's bitch. Do you all have any comments on that? On the Mars-Jupiter square?
Does it perfect when Jupiter is in Aries and Mars is in Cancer? Or does it perfect? It has to, right?
I think so. Yeah, because Jupiter's only in Pisces for a second.
For like 3 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, that has to be it.
Pulls out the ephemeris.
Pulls out the ephemeris.
I don't know if I have thoughts on that yet, to be honest. I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest. Mars in Cancer, Jupiter in Aries.
I don't know. I really like Mars in Cancer. I think it's kind of a hot placement.
Yeah, I also really love Mars in Cancer.
Yelling.
And I mean, like, Jupiter in Aries is I like the idea that, like, there is some level of, like, reception with Jupiter squaring Mars in a Mars sign.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be one of those, like, depending on the day, because of the moon ruling Mars the whole time, we'll be like, how is the square
going?
How is the square, like, showing itself?
Yeah. I agree. My mom has Mars in Cancer. So, yeah, it depends on the day, for sure. It'll depend on the day, for sure. I don't know. I'm still a little on the fence about that one. But I do like that Mars can see and is in a cardinal sign, which I appreciate. At least we'll get moving a little bit.
And Jupiter's in the overcoming position. I think if it was Mars in Cancer square Jupiter in Libra, that is a really different story. But the fact that Jupiter is in the overcoming position, I think, is really good.
I don't know. It feels horny. I talked about Jupiter and Aries being virile, and this is, Mars in Cancer gives, like, the power bottom version of that.
I literally was going to say power bottom.
So, yeah, and I see we have Two Martian for You has requested the mic, so.
I love that at.
Two Martian for You.
Oh, and then I added them, and I think, oh, they're here. Hello. Hi.
Hey.
We can hear you. Yes, I'm going to have to repeat your question for our recording for the podcast. But hi, welcome.
Speak that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you're welcome. Sorry.
No, we appreciate it. Basically, we got praised for keeping it real and being this attorney and mofos that we are.
And we do. We actually talked about this in, like, the pre-show about how, one, it's frustrating when there's so much, like, rose-colored everything on like, not everything has to have a good spin. Like, it's okay that it doesn't. We talked about this in the last episode that, like, astrology won't just bring you positive things. If you want to know astrology, it's going to bring you the whole range of human experience, all the good and all the bad. It's all there in the astrology. Yeah, no, like, I'm not.
It wouldn't work otherwise. Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be legitimate if it didn't point out the shitty stuff.
The Mars-Jupiter square doesn't perfect until Jupiter is in Taurus and Mars is in Leo.
Oh. I love that. I love that. Sorry.
In May.
That's wild. That's wild.
That's crazy.
There's, like, zero dignity involved there. That's interesting.
Yeah. Those are a few little fine little.
I'm a little bit sad that it doesn't happen in Cancer.
Yes, it's really cute. It sounded really cute.
Okay, I mean, it's square out of Mars is at 27 Cancer, while Jupiter is at 29 Aries, moving into Taurus.
Okay.
So it doesn't perfect, but it's within a few degrees by the end of the cardinal.
Gotcha. So we get it for a while.
We get it. It's a slow edging of the square that perfects at the very beginning of, like, Taurus Leo 1.
Yeah, you power bottom, but you don't finish.
Damn.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
Yep. Well, there you have it.
And with that,
maybe it's time that we finish.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you all for tuning into our antics and shenanigans, as always. We appreciate you all as fans and, like, supporting us in this podcast. we wouldn't do it if it wasn't for you all.
We have 3 minutes left, and I do see one person just, Celestial Ooh. House, just asked for the mic, and we still have 3 minutes, so I'll give them the mic for three Let's minutes. Go. What's up? Oh, they didn't want the mic. They left.
That was the edging. There it is.
That right was,
there.
Yeah. And then you don't finish.
And then you don't finish.
They're back? They're back, yeah. I think so. At least that's what it says on my phone.
I don't see them as a speaker.
I see Celestial House. Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Hey.
The Scorpio eclipse on October 25th, our take on it.
It's definitely not as bad as the second one.
I agree.
Yeah, and we talked about that actually in our last episode about like kind of once you learn this language of astrology, you can't unknow it. And we talked about it even at the beginning of today of like the burden of knowing, the curse of knowing. In our pre-show chat, we were talking about the curse that Valens has at the beginning of his text. And we were like almost out of time. But like, just like, I really think that that curse is that he's like cursed us with like, now we have to know this information. And guess what? You can't unknow it.
And with that,
we're all cursed by Valens.
We're all cursed.
Thank you so much, everybody, for coming.
Thank you all. Yes. Thank you for being here for our first live recording.
Hell yeah. Amazing.
Enjoy the rest of Kazimikan, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave the Zoom call and leave the Zencaster.
Leave the Zencaster.
Oh, I have to stop recording.